Welcome to the Victory Podcast.
Hey, Victors, welcome to this episode of the Victory Show. If this is the first time you're joining us, I'm Rachel Lee with Bestseller by Design. Our founder, Travis Cody, is the best-selling author of 16 books, and we've had the privilege of helping hundreds of business consultants, founders, and entrepreneurs write and publish their own best-selling books as well. Through that journey, we've discovered a fascinating pattern. Most businesses really struggle to break past the seven-figure revenue mark. On this show, I sit down with some of the world's most successful CEOs, leaders, and business owners to uncover the strategies they used to scale way past that mark so you can do the same. So get ready for some deep insights and actionable takeaways that you can implement in your life and business starting now. Today's guest is Bob LaChance, the founder and CEO of Riva Capital, the premier virtual assistant staffing company serving real estate professionals. Before entering the world of entrepreneurship, Bob spent 8 years as a professional hockey player, competing across the United States and Europe. After retiring from hockey, he shifted his focus to real estate, acquiring his first flip in 2004 and going on to build an extraordinary track record, closing more than 2,200 transactions, including over 180 deals in 2023 and over 200 in 2024. In 2014, Bob launched Riva Global to help real estate businesses scale more efficiently by providing highly trained virtual assistants. Under his leadership, the company has become an industry leader known for combining exceptional training with a deep understanding of real estate operations. Bob is also the co-founder of PerchRock, a real estate investment firm specializing in acquiring distressed and undervalued assets across Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts. He shares insights from his journey on the Pucks to Properties podcast, where he interviews former professional athletes who have successfully transitioned into real estate. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. That was long-winded, but thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You got a lot of interesting stuff in your story, and I'm excited to get into it.
That means I'm getting old. So that's that.
You're getting wise. You're getting wise. So just to kick things off, you know, you spent nearly a decade in professional hockey before you transitioned into real estate. Can you tell us a little bit about that switch, maybe some lessons about you know, what you learned on the ice, how that shaped how you approached business?
Sure, absolutely. Reason why I got into real estate, I'll just be very transparent with you. I left school two classes short of getting my degree because I signed a professional contract. And I always thought, hey, you know what? I could go back in the summer and make those two classes up. And then every year went by, I never went back. Another year, I never went back. So 8 years fast forward, and I had a point of decision at that time, either to go back to school and get my two classes or jump into an industry that has zero barriers of entry. So I decided to jump into real estate, which, as many people know, that, you know, you don't really need any licensing to get into real estate investment side. So I decided to jump in, and I also, you know, figured it's an industry that you could bet on yourself. You know, the harder you work, the more money you can make, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the main reason why I jumped in. And, you know, reading a lot of books, there's a lot of individuals that have gained a lot of wealth through real estate. So that is the main reason.
Makes sense. So it sounds like you got up to speed by doing some proprietary research through the books. Did you find any mentors in the space, or did you just say, I'm going to give it a go and see how it works out and learn from there?
Very good question. At the beginning, you know, towards the end of my playing career, I started reading a lot of books. Rich Dad Poor Dad is one of them, which a lot of us have read. And I also went online, because online there are not really many resources like there are today, which is free mentoring, free coaching, etc. So I bought a couple of courses. One was a very, very thick course all about real estate, but nothing in specific. And it was by a gentleman by the name of David Wisnett, an attorney who was doing real estate. This is back in 2001, 2003, 2004. And it just got me started. It got me thinking about, you know, how individuals make money, some systems, some processes. Because you have to realize the 8 years I was playing hockey, I did nothing but, you know, have fun, had a couple cocktails along the way. And I did not, you know, talk business. I didn't understand what business was. My whole goal was to make the NHL, right? So for me, it was just a way different kind of mindset shift to say, hey, I'm going to be done playing a sport, or my career is going to be done soon. So it was very difficult to make that transition, but I had to put my mind and energy into something, which was, you know, after reading that course, I was like, all right, I could do this. So I had the confidence to do it.
there any parallels with, I know you mentioned it was a lot of fun in the hockey scene, but any parallels from learnings from the ice to the real estate business?
Yeah, I think work ethic is number one. I mean, I think in any industry, if you work hard and you have the right mindset, well, mindset, hard work, and then the ability to work with a team is very, very important, because when you look at business, if you can't work with a team, you're going to be left behind, especially nowadays, because we need each other, right? You play a role within your organization. I'll play a role in a couple of my organizations, but it's the team that actually gets you where you want to go.
And so was that part of the inspiration for Reba Global?
Yeah. So when I first started real estate, it's pretty interesting. When I first started real estate, you asked the question if I got a mentor. My first deal, I did not, but that's when I realized I needed a mentor. I needed to work with someone. I also did not like working by myself. So that same year, I went to an organization. It was called Connecticut Real Estate Association. And I went to that one meeting and looked around and I said, all right, who are the most successful individuals in this room? And they all pointed to one individual. I went up to him and I said, hey, you have no idea who I am. Found out he was a rugby guy. I was a hockey guy. So that was a connection right there. Went up to him and then he said he was looking to add to his team. So I said, perfect, I'll do anything. And my first job actually, or it was door knocking. So I went door to door for a year straight from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. every Monday through Friday, which is a very humbling task to do. It was the best thing ever happened to me because I learned the business from ground up, and I graduated from that, found someone else to take my role. And then how I got to Reva was we started a real estate education program as well with some other individuals that were doing real estate investing in Connecticut. So our job was the back end to take care of the coaches and the coaching program and to build actually the coaches from behind, because we had their job was to sell students. Our job was running coaching program. So we helped build from within. We'd bring on a student, teach them the business, then they would coach, et cetera, et cetera. So one thing that I found out through the process was you could give individuals, especially students, as a mentor, you could give them tasks to do to be successful. But a lot of time life gets in the way, right? You could do a bunch of different things. Reality is people have families at home. People have other jobs when they get into real estate. There's a lot of stuff that just gets in the way. And I just started thinking, I said, there's got to be a service or a product starting 2007. There's got to be a service or a product out there that will help these individuals do those tasks. So fast forward 2013, I got introduced to what a virtual assistant was while I was running my real estate company, while I was running this coaching program. And then a light bulb went on. I said, you know what? This could be exactly what we're looking for. And then I started my first company in 2014. And then, you know, now fast forward today, we have over 500 plus virtual assistants in that one company.
Incredible. What did those early days look like when you said, okay, I see this need in the market, I want to start, but then it's so removed in theory from real estate. I know you've been able to blend the two nicely so that your virtual assistants are technically trained to address those needs. But how did you go about even getting that started?
I actually married our coaching program with our virtual assistants. So we created created the training platform first, which was started with our education. And then we started going to the real estate investor saying, hey, is this something that you'd like to do? You want to test it out? I'll give you a free VA first. So we offered it free. And then we obviously needed X amount of capital to start it off. So put X amount of capital and then hired trainers, hired recruiters. This is all in the Philippines. So my company's out of the Philippines. So we hired that remote. My partner at the time took care of that side of it because he was able to go back and forth. He was younger, wasn't married, no kids. So went back and forth and took care of that aspect of it. Mine was to take care of the United States side. So that's how we got it started. And then over first 2 years, we had a couple hundred clients with us that tested it, and then we refined it, turned a lot over, changed the training, and then like I said, fast forward today, it kind of grows from there.
Yeah, the talent in the Philippines is fantastic. Tell us a little bit about how you were able to find the right talent, given that it was a totally different market.
Yeah, so we went through a lot of trials and Yeah, failures, et cetera, et cetera. So we actually hired individuals over in the Philippines, sourcing and recruiting. So there's different ways to source and recruit over there. We hired the best talent, realized they weren't the best talent, then rehired the best talent. And then, you know, through a lot of the failures, we've got the right people. And then it just started taking off from there. We created more systems, more processes, more technology over there to be able to manage it. And then we had the, like I said, we had the right people on the team to be able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like putting the systems into place to enable you to scale effectively and efficiently was really important. Can you give us a little bit more detail on what did those systems look like in that tech that you referenced? Were you building that in-house?
Yep. Yeah, we built it in-house. Since then, we've graduated from the, we actually worked with a local individual in the Philippines to build the first technology that we have. Now we're on Salesforce, which obviously we all know what Salesforce does and how incredible Salesforce is. So we started first with something that we built from a local developer. Now we move from there, but what we did was we looked at all departments. And, you know, I think every business that starts up does pretty much the same thing. So what we did, obviously we need marketing and branding. I look at your company, your company's phenomenal marketing and branding. So it starts with what that looks like. Are you going to do? So what we're doing here is podcasts. I use this podcast to market and brand myself for not only my Riva Global company, but also for my Perch Rock company on the real estate side, which brings in credibility. Then you drive people through the funnel. And then you have your sales team. And then, so how it looks like in the Philippines, we break it up into sourcing or recruiting, which where the virtual assistants come in the funnel, marketing, branding, come to the funnel. And then they go to our training team. So we have, I don't know how many trainers we have right now. And then as soon as they pass through our training, it's about a month long, it goes to our placements team. And our placements team is the individuals that match up the perfect candidate with the tasks and the different types of skill set that you need here. So if I need someone to do lead generation or phone management or admin management, that's where the placement team would actually help out. And then it goes to our operations team after that.
And what made you want to build the tech in-house to start versus using a platform already on the market?
Honestly, we met someone who actually built tech. And I, back in the day too, I also invested in built a technology company that did not go anywhere and lost a lot of money, to be honest with you, because I am not a tech guy. So I lean on other individuals that specialize in that area. So that's why we decided to do it.
Makes sense. With your incredible portfolio of real estate investments, what do you attribute to being able to scale to over deals in just a few years?
So I think, it's longevity, of course, right? This started in 2004, but I think it's, and I talk about this a lot, it's the team that you have. You cannot do this many deals by yourself. 100% can't do it. If you could do it, I take my hat to you, take my hat off to you and say, congratulations. You must not have any hair left in your head. You must be, you must be a little tired, is my point.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. It's really your team, because team systems and processes, like we talked about, Rachel, because if you don't have all of those put together, then it's going to be very difficult to do that. And it all starts first with marketing, obviously lead generation that comes into whatever your team turns that into. So for instance, in the real estate world, you have to market a brand, whether you do TV, whether you do online, direct mail, whatever it is, books, etc. Right. Let's say I write a book and all those leads come back into the funnel that you set, and then it goes to your sales floor. Sales floor then will have to turn that obviously into a buyable unit, if you will. And then you can purchase that property, fix it up, resell it, or purchase it, hold it, etc. So it's kind of the same system for a lot of different industries, but you need the team behind you. Doing it yourself is very, very, very difficult.
Makes sense. And so to get that team to join you, were you initially offering them more of like equity buy-in, cash capital that you were using from, you know, bootstrapping from your prior ventures? How did you think about that? Because I think a lot of people who get started feel like they have to take so much of it on themselves given capital constraints. So how did you think about that?
Well, at the beginning, it's definitely different than when you're in your, when you have some success. So in real estate, the cool thing you could do is actually do deal splits, right? So, and there's two resources. It's time or money. So you either have time, more time in your hands, or more money in your hands. And what you can do is you could leverage, if I have more time on my hands, I could leverage someone who has more money, and then give them, when I buy a property, I use their money and I give them a split and I pay them a preferred rate for their money and a part of the profit. So that's what I did at the beginning. And again, I already retired, so I had a little money put away and I had a lot of time on my hands. And the individual I mentor definitely used that to his benefit, me having a lot of time. And I was very, very coachable. So I did whatever he told me to do. And then a year later, we became partners and we took both the risk on together and the rewards on together.
Was there ever a time that you two disagreed or you felt like you should take the business a different direction and you did that? And what was the result?
You know, we had a couple of disagreements, not many. Like I said, I was a sponge at that time and I wasn't there to tell him what to do because I didn't know what to do. So I took on as more of a mentor. We were business partners for 10 years and then our paths just kind of went separate directions. We also both ran the coaching program together as well. So we had a very good 10-year run. And then I started my virtual assistant company with another business partner, an older business partner who's no longer a business partner. He went off on his own ways, but yeah, it worked out for a long time, my first business partnership.
That's fantastic. Like you said, it all comes back to the people, right? And it sounds like you had a very similar outlook on the direction and vision for the company. So from a strategic standpoint, you were pretty aligned and all moving in the same direction for the most part.
Yeah. And one of the things that he taught me too, we helped build, you know, we built a course too that we just sell on stage. One thing he told me, and I'll take this right now, do everything that you do, make sure you document it and document it like you're going to sell it one day. You may never want to sell it, but what you do is with your systems, processes. I know with AI now, it's probably a heck of a lot easier to build those out by just giving it one prompt and it can literally write your whole playbook. Everything that you do in your business, document it, because what we do, you know, if you and I own the same business, we probably do 80% of the stuff the same way, but that's 20% that makes you special is what that's the gold behind the scenes that people don't see.
In the process of documenting, is that largely just making sure that you're able to articulate to anybody? So you're literally writing it down, or what does that look like?
Yeah. So it's everything from hiring, you know, you got your core values, hiring, it's systems, processes. For instance, we created, it was called the short sale flagship system, and we created, and this was all doing short sales. So first part of my career from 2004 to 12, 13, 14, majority of the stuff we did were short sales, which means the bank had over-debted properties. We'd contact the bank, negotiate them down. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on within that process, all the way from marketing, get the deal on your plate, to then negotiating. And there's a lot of systems, a lot of scripts that need to be had. So when you call a bank, waiting on hold, every little process and every little phone call has a script to it. So we documented all of that. It took us well over a year to document the short sale flagship system.
Wow. Yeah, you've talked a lot about the importance of systems, and it sounds like you all are a very methodical group. Was there ever a time that one of the systems that you set up didn't quite work as intended, and how did you fix that?
Well, I mean, a lot of systems didn't work, right? But it's just actually listening to the market. So for instance, in listening to outside people, your team, very, very important. Let's say if you were calling a bank and the script didn't work, change the script, right? If you're calling a bank, the bank gets sold. That particular bank that mortgage, let's just say, I know I'm getting pretty deep in that one thing, but they have a different system. They have a different process. So you have to change it. You have to adapt to other people's systems and processes from your own.
Makes sense. Can you tell us which of your business ventures has been your most favorite or the one that you find yourself thinking about the most?
It's a great question. Never had that question before. I'd probably say my virtual assistant company, because I have the most people that I employ. And I look at it, I think it's very important to realize that when you employ one person, you also employ many people. What I mean by that is, you know, you have someone in your office, but when they go home, they have a family. Maybe they're feeding their kids. They have two kids. They have three kids. They have four kids, or they're taking care of their parents. So our obligations as business owners are to literally, we're taking care of not only them, but the side that we don't, you know, none of us actually get to see.
Right. What do you think it is about your passion for the virtual assistant company, or how important do you think passion is in general for having success in your business endeavors?
I think passion's probably 80%+ of any success that any one of us are going to have, because I mean, you could get lucky. Let's call it what it is. You could hit the lottery, but that's just luck, but you're not going to sustain it. You're not going to hit the lottery again. But in business, you know, you see the most successful individuals just love what they do. They get up, they think about how they're going to help people. They think about how they're going to win. They think about how they're going to make change, etc. So I think passion is 90%+.
When you look at Riva Global and Pertrac today,
what's next on the horizon? I think it's continue to build what we have here, continue to employ individuals, continue to help people's change people's lives that are inside your organization, because, you know, there's no better feel of it. I'm always aware of and being careful not to have shiny object syndrome. They take their eye off the ball. Like they take their focus away of, I couldn't do it. So it's focusing on the two companies I have.
Yeah. Sounds like some of the keys to your success are having the focus, the passion, the systems in place, and the right team as well.
Very good question. I would say victory is client success and employee success, successful. So I always look at it the same way, right? If for me, if I'm going to have a new client that comes on board, uses my virtual assistants, and they're successful, like that, there's no better high than that, right? Or if you have an employee that we have employee successes in the Philippines, and every year we highlight that. If I could have an employee that never had a credit card before, or never bought a house, or never got qualified to buy a car, to me, that is huge success. So if you start looking at things like client success and employee success, that for me is a victory.
What piece of advice would you give to your younger self?
My younger self, I would say, trust the process, and everything takes longer than you think or you want. So it's the long game. There's no get rich quick anything. So that's what I would tell my younger self, because a lot of different stories are going through my head. So that's why I'm laughing.
Yep. There's that saying, patience is a virtue for a reason, right? We hear that a lot on our podcasts. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time. This was an incredible conversation, and we're looking forward to seeing the future success of Riva and Perch.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it, Rachel.